All right, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the podcast. So you're going to be seeing this on all the platforms that we share. Today, we're answering the question, how has ChatGPT changed your life or impacted your life? If it has, because there's a lot of people that aren't exactly aware of it. So,
first off, what's ChatGPT?
I mean, ChatGPT, I feel, before I go into the rant, artificial general intelligence.
So now Jarvis, it's like a Close couple enough. Steps under Jarvis.
Speaking of Jarvis. Yeah,
20 steps under Jarvis, but it's definitely... Yeah.
Definitely not Ultron.
Yeah, no. It's giving...
Not yet.
Google a run for its money, in my opinion, in terms of like, of simplifying search. Because you know how that's like one of the things that it's simplified for me, like when you use Google, you see a whole bunch of different search results, and then with ChatGPT, it uses all that knowledge already. It just consolidates it to like, here's what everyone's saying into like a very simple thing. So it's probably one of the most powerful tools out there right now, and it's free. So which is
there's a free and then there's a pro account.
Yeah, I'm still happy with the free account. The pro account just makes it faster.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a delay when it comes to using the
features,
the regular version, but I'm still happy with it. It sure as hell beats one of these other, what is the other service we're paying, like $35 a month?
Yikes.
So, yeah.
Wait, what's the other service?
The other service, I think it were you,
was
the,
Jarvis AI.
It's Jarvis AI. So it's essentially, you know how the caption stuff that we're doing right now?
Jarvis?
It's
just,
yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, but come on. It gave Jarvis a bad name.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it did okay, but the thing is, there's limitations in the prompts. Like, you can essentially, like, give it such a, like, an entire podcast episode, essentially, for a prompt. Like, write a description using all this information. Yeah. Boom. Or write...
Because that was specifically an AI writing app. Like, it wasn't just general ChatGPT where you can ask it questions. You can have it do... You can have it write code for you.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it gets wildly specific and very accurate, and then you just kind of tell it what to do.
Yeah,
like if you say write an Instagram post, and then it writes a really long one, and you're like,
shorten it,
make it shorter, add this. It's like kind of like talking to a person.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the person is like has no emotional connection to what you're telling it to do.
It won't try to push its opinion on you. It's like, you sure you want to write this?
Yeah.
And that's the thing too. Like,
let me be wrong. Like,
if this is the worst AI is going to be right now, it's only going to get better.
I mean, yeah. Speaking of like narrowing down like search results, because there was one day I forgot how long it would take to pan fry like a fillet of like not fillet of fish from McDonald's, but like an actual like a fillet, an actual fillet of like cod. Or whatever. And I was like, wait, how long does it take? And I Googled it, and there was like it was taking me to like recipes of some sort of pan-fried cod, but you know, they give you their life story before they even get to the first ingredient. And I was like, fuck it, ChatGPT, how long does it take to pan-fry cod in olive oil? And they were like, yeah, it's a couple minutes. Thank you.
It's like the friend that you never had.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
Yeah, like I did that recently with trying to get more REM and deep sleep, and there's a whole bunch of like when I Googled it, there was like a whole bunch of articles, which is great. I don't have the time for that.
Yeah.
So like all I did was like, how to do it, and it just gives, it's the condensed version of everything that it currently knows.
Yeah,
takes the research out of
the research.
The researching.
Yeah, and
which
then,
is pretty nice.
Yeah, one of the
researchers, watch out.
One of the things that I used for recently was when I had to look over all the freaking contracts with Universal and like and all them.
Oh yeah.
Like they sent me stacks on stacks on stacks of contracts and handbooks to review.
Yeah.
What I liked about it is I copy pasted each article, each section, and I just said simplify this so a fifth grader can understand it. And everything was just like, okay, cool. Just understanding like the jargon of all the contracts. Cause those things get wordy, they also get very technical, and there's a whole lawyer speak that can get, for me, like at least like, is this what I think it means?
Yeah.
So that helped out. I saved a lot of time, so I can understand, like, one, read the contract,
yeah,
two, understand it, and three, sign it in a timely manner. That way I'm not spending the whole week Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the ways. Like, I found it super, super useful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of things that I'm playing
with. I mean, with our work, too, like, as a copywriter, it's like, my first reaction was, oh, shit, I'm out of a job. And then I'm, like, looking through it. I'm like, no, I just have a buddy for my job. Because, like, I still have to... It's hard when you're writing for a specific people or a specific brand that has a specific voice that isn't, like, as famous or whatever. It's not like, oh, if I'm going to be writing for someone as Gary Vee, literally, like, that works, right? It's like, write an Instagram post in the tone or voice of Gary Vee and using this information, and then, boom, there it is. For, like, me, like, with Temper Tantrum, like, I don't know Temper Tantrum yet. And so it's like, there's a specific voice for Temper Tantrum, so I'll just have it
Brandon.
Write something, and then I'll take it, and then I'll change it anyway. I'm one of those moms that, like, you know, the kids, like, cleaning up after themselves, and then I clean up after the kids. I'll redo it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I like about it, especially with writing all the copy for the posts. Mm. It allows you to be creative in a much more high-end level, mm-hmm. of, like, okay, because there's creating from scratch, which in itself is a different type of creativity. Yeah. But then there's taking what's already there and enhancing it,
yeah.
which is why, like, there's, like, several levels of, like, you know, there's a junior editor, the head editor, senior editor, whatever, senior copywriter and whatnot, because they have the experience. It essentially makes ChatGPT everything more like ChatGPT is essentially the junior copywriter. Yeah. Everyone's a senior level, mm-hmm. and instead of the creative, they become the creative director of their own thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. which helps, because sometimes, like, fuck, I don't have an idea, mm-hmm. right now, and I'm like, all right, cool, and you just literally give it prompts. All right, write a caption about dance, make it inspirational, mm-hmm. make it sound like Tony Robbins is writing it, and then give me 12 examples.
Yeah,
and then boom, 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 boom. Whereas, like, I know that's the part that might be scary for a lot of, like, junior copywriters or junior editors in general, yeah. because, you know, like, especially with Midjourney and potential AI editing softwares.
Yeah.
I think it's a... I have mixed thoughts about that, but yeah, it definitely helps save time in terms of having to come up with things from scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty nice, especially since... Like, if there's a topic that you don't necessarily know too much about, you're like, just tell me about this. And then it says, da, 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 da. And you're like, okay, like, what can I pull from that? And then you can go even more in depth. Da, 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 da. But that's, like, also, like, something that has been, I've been kind of using it for my job for, like, some of the social media posts.
Yeah.
And my, God, what's her name? Yeah, my boss has actually sent me a link of, like, how to optimize it even more, like, with Canva. So, like, to create more posts. And I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I thought I was doing okay.
There's also some browser extensions that work in tandem with ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have to do with, like, copywriting and, like, social media and stuff. So I think I sent you an article from Wired, like, a couple days ago.
There's many articles. Yeah. Like, the ones that off the top of my head that I remember that I liked was the Canva one. You literally generate, like, the 10 quotes and automatically puts it on. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was on an Excel sheet?
Yeah. So ChatGPT, what it does, it generates the post for you. And then what you can do, especially since a lot of people nowadays they like having, like, the pretty quotes and, like, mm-hmm. the text, like, in, like, very nice, like writing, or it's, like, it's pretty. And so, like, people love reading that. So it's, like, it does that, generates the post, and then you can upload it to make, like, multiple posts in, like, a certain, like nice, like, graphic font or, like, a very pretty picture. So it, like, makes it picturesque. And so I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I know that's something that she had been wanting to do. So I'm like, okay, well, now we have a way to do it.
Canva itself is already, like, a pretty good tool to begin with for, like, non-graphic designers.
Yeah.
But, like, then with the addition of that, like, with ChatGPT, that just makes Canva, like, way friendlier for people that don't exactly consider themselves creative. Because I helped out, I can just drop her name, JoJo Starbuck, former Olympic ice skater. She came to me once. She was like, oh, hey, I need help with my social media and blah, blah, blah. She also needed help with Canva. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it's pretty user-friendly. But she's also, like, you know, old. So I'm like, oh, so now I have to like explain Canva to her. And she's like, oh, but why can't it be just automatically this, automatically that? I'm like, but we're not there yet.
Yeah.
Send it to her now.
Yeah. Technology is transforming real fast.
And, and one thing I'm looking forward to, I only know one tool that uses AI for social media. It's called, I think, Social Bakers. Mm.
Social Bakers?
Yeah.
Like Bake Bing. Man? Bread Man?
Bread Man.
Yeah.
But what their tool, Social Bread Man.
What their Cakeman. Tool does, and I've never used it, but I just saw it, and like I couldn't afford it because their tool is so expensive. At least it's out of our
budget. But what does it do?
What it does, it takes the posts that you're doing and it projects using AI what you should start posting moving forward.
Oh, all right. You should start posting. Yeah. What do you mean by that?
Like if it's like, okay, this video with this color, with this thing, with this color, this is just assumption.
So like aesthetic content,
or like subject this, matter, all this that? Photo, this color, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. It can predict what might be a good like post together.
Using the data.
Yeah, using your data from your audience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, this is going to generate a good post for you.
Yeah.
At least at this right
That's
now.
That's cool. Yeah,
so. I mean, it's kind of what we do, but it's like very, it's essentially the scientific method. It's like, let's try this. Oh, people like that. We'll do more of this. Let's try this.
Yeah.
It's less of the work of the scientific method.
Yeah. There's one that I forgot. It's called Meat Cortex. I tested it last summer and same thing. What do you call it? It's essentially, you give it like your last 500 posts and looks at everything and it says posts with this color do better. Posts with videos with this do better with these. Yeah.
Take note, friends.
So it's a pretty good tool just to give an idea. Like these hashtags performed best. These words performed best. Mm-hmm. Like it really analyzed everything. You can do your TikTok, your YouTube, your Facebook, like your Instagram. It was a pretty good tool. Again, I was just playing around with it because that's honestly out of the budget right now as well. But yeah, I mean, there's also other things I think we talked about in terms of AI. It's not ChatGPT, but like we've talked about it a handful of times is how it's going to affect artists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like with Midjourney and what was that app, Lenza?
There's Lenza, there's Midjourney.
Midjourney,
there's
Dolly.
Dolly, there's...
These are apps that create art specifically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Art. That you put the prompt and it creates that for you, like the one I sent you guys, like my favorite one was still African Queen Thanos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. But like there's a mixed bag of like, I mean, remember when it first came out, there was a whole bunch of
so much controversy.
A lot of artists were like, no to AI art. Well, one, I get the whole thing of like the whole they used other people's art as for the AI data to reference without their consent, which is, I get it. Like, that's essentially plagiarism. So, to be able to opt out of that, I think that would be the first step in correcting it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To give them some sort of royalty program or an incentive long term that would help them, because a lot of artists helped give these other AI art programs the style it wanted. Yeah. So, like, just to be able to. It would be great to be able to compensate them long term.
Mm-hmm. Especially since, like, when we used Lenza, we paid for it. We paid for images.
Yeah.
And so it's like, understandably, like, artists who, like, have worked for years and years and years creating their own style of art, and now this piece of technology can just replicate it and people give their money to them. Yeah. It's like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
So like I completely understand, especially in the con scene, there's a lot of artists, they go to cons, they like sell their art, they sell online, they do like commissions, and like that's their like livelihood. So something like coming in and making something off of their art, which they may or may not have consented to, that's a violation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think how would you guys like, I'm trying to imagine like what do you think? Because there's a lot of people that consider themselves AI artists, like they do it.
It does take a certain amount of skill level to get the words right on a prompt, or kind of like find your way around it. Like, so some people use like ChatGPT to help them optimize the prompt to use for something like Midjourney.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what's whatever.
Midjourney.
Midjourney is another art. Probably the best AI generated art I've seen. The one that African Queen Thanos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It can create like from or the ones that you're seeing on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It creates a really, really, really good AI generated art. Yeah. It's the one that they finally fixed AI hands.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The fingers are five. Yeah. And the palms are just one. Yeah. And then the phalanges are the correct
exactly
number.
Where they're supposed
so,
to be.
Yeah, yeah. There's no AI. So that's a thing.
Like, so AI art has now perfected hands.
And it's only
hands are very hard to draw for humans. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And it's still 2022.
Yeah.
And imagine
2023.
Shit. And imagine how good it's going to be next year.
Oh, yeah.
And how powerful this was going to be. Yeah, the thing we were also talking about, like, oh, yeah, AR artists. Like,
yeah.
The whole... Because my friend Rob, he's a video game... He's a game art instructor in some of the colleges around here. He's one of the few artists that I know that love ChatGPT and Midjourney. Mm. Because he's like, bro, like, I don't have to say... All I have to do is finish the job. I'm all for it. And then his argument was like, you still need to have the technical understanding to be able to fix things AI hands or to be able to change
AI things. Hands.
Yeah.
This is one hand.
So
this is one hand.
Yeah. So it's a, especially if you're trying to have it look a certain way and AI doesn't always generate it the way you want it. Mm-hmm. If having that technical understanding allows you to fix what the AI can't do just yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then also
still a baby.
It's a baby.
It's almost like the way I'm seeing it is like how YouTube and social media commoditized everyone being like famous. Yeah. Back then there was a very high bar to just be on TV, but now everyone can have attention. Now everyone can be an artist.
Yeah.
But but now it's a matter of like, how good is your brand?
Yes. Yes. Can you talk about that? Can you talk about like the hesitations that people had about AI and why and like ways that they could overcome that?
Yeah. I think the main way that people can overcome the whole battle with AI is having a strong community, having a strong brand, because it goes back to, I don't know, like having an original Van Gogh, having an original Picasso,
Monet,
yeah, like knowing that knowledge. It goes back to like the relationship from the consumer to the creator of like, I know I got this specifically from this artist, from you know, because then they know this commission or this art was specifically made for them, albeit like you can probably put the same prompt like on AI, but it's just like there's a thing, it's like it going back to there's less value if it just comes to you easy.
Yeah
And it's like, okay, cool, now what?
But now you
go to this person who has a brand, who has a following, who has a community, and then they're giving their time to you. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for, I guess time being put into it, which is like, there's a lot of
like time, effort, creativity, like blood, sweat, and tears.
There's little literal labor there.
Yeah. It's like I guess for example, like, you know, when people have any of you like ever received like a, like a handwritten thank you card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you actually took the time to sit down and like write this for me, especially nowadays where texting everything is just so easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, my handwriting is crap, but like,
yeah,
there's something about like knowing that someone put that time into it that just like puts like a little stamp of like appreciation, and like nothing can, not even like technology can't touch that.
That it goes back to humans being nostalgic.
Yes.
Like humans love nostalgia, which is why a lot of us are like, there's a lot
of these 90s babies.
Yeah. So I don't think I could see the whole scare of AI of like, oh no, it's going to take my job or anything like this. As artists, like people are going to further appreciate the individual artist.
Yeah.
But also means you better work on your brand 10 times harder to get that, build that community, because it's, I don't know, I guess that's what, even now, it even before ChatGPT, the question would be, how do I stand out as an artist amongst other artists?
Yeah.
So it goes back to, I mean, putting good content out there and then building your community. Yeah. So like there's an article out there of 1,000 true friend gestures. 1,000 true fans. Uh-huh. And then that's all you need. Like if you have like a $10 product and these are 1,000 hardcore fans, mm-hmm. that's like $10,000.
Going back to the whole like humans versus like technology, essentially, like when it comes to like art, I think it's a natural human thing to reject the new thing first.
Yeah.
Because I remember when, like, it's basically whenever technology starts doing something that only humans used to be able to do, people push back on it. Because I remember, like, when I was in high school, we had a project to make this, like, calendar or whatever. So everybody handmade theirs. They went to the craft store and they, you know, like, they spent hours gluing and pasting things. I'm like, I don't do that. At that point, I'm not a crafty person. So I'm like, I don't do that, but you know what I'm good at? Computers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great example.
Like, you know what I'm good at? Computers. And you know what computers can do now? They can do artsy things. So I, like, put everything together on the computer. I mean, I had my mom help me, like, get my work to a printer and, like, bind it so it looks like a really presentable, like, calendar you could actually put on your desk. That's something bulky, full of glitter and impractical.
Yeah.
And then, like, I got an A on it because it looked great. I did the assignment. Yeah. And then someone was like, oh, you put little to no effort on it. I'm like, did I?
It's a different
did kind of I? I just didn't cover myself in glitter and goop, but I stayed up, like, till 3 a.m. when my eyes burn.
Yeah, and just because that you didn't put the same kind of effort doesn't mean that the effort you put into it is any less.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely the whole, like, again, it commoditizes, it puts everyone kind of in a level playing field and everything. Yeah. The one example that comes up for me is, it's controversial. I thought it was a great example of the power of AI, mm-hmm. was the AI-generated children's book.
Oh, yeah.
So the guy used ChatGPT to create the characters, create the look, create the story, and then he used, I think, Midjourney as well to create for all the art.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then published it in the weekend. So, so one, that's pretty cool in terms of how fast. Two, I get, I can see how it's like, what happened to, like, originality, creativity. I get that, because, you know, it does make that questionable. But just for example's sake, to help one, the non-creative people put something out there if they can't afford a writer or an editor or an artist, because illustrators can get expensive. You can't. What if you can't afford that? Midjourney is I think I forget how much it is, but it lets you at least get your foot in the door. It allows you to create proof of concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to add that, is what if you, those who are creative, how can you use this as a tool, not a threat, to level up, to make your work easy for you?
I agree. Like, a lot of the tools nowadays, or like things that come about nowadays, like, people see it as threatening because they've come into a way of being that they're used to. But the thing with, like, this is, like, things change, and, like, we as humans change. And so the more that we can adapt to what's being created, because these are tools. These are tools for us to upgrade ourselves and upgrade whatever we're doing. So it's, like, see it as that way and not as something that's going to put you down. You know, use it to your advantage.
Yeah. And I have a friend that, like, kind of moving away from art. I have a friend who is a programmer. And ChatGPT, like, knowing that ChatGPT can literally write code for you doesn't scare him at all. He was like, oh, this can just make my job a lot easier, instead of, like, trying to figure out spending hours on end figuring out how to do this one thing. I can just have ChatGPT do it. I'll look over the code, see if it's actually, like, correct.
Yeah.
Put it in. I'm done. I'm free to work on other things.
I think.
Optimized.
Yeah.
There's also a saying that goes, the tools we design also design us back. Mm-hmm. So there's also the fear of, I hear it to parents saying this, of kids using this to write papers or all those things.
Yeah.
And albeit, like, I also know there's just tools that, this is where I think before this tools even exists, is even introduced to people, it should be like, people should get into the grind of, this is just me being romantic, like, the grind of understanding copyright and understanding how to actually draw in perspective and, mm-hmm. you know, proper things like that. So that way, when they have the tool, it's enhanced and they're not reliant on the tool.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a whole, I think that's one fear of mine is like people losing the ability to be creative independently from a tool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, once all of this, like, that makes it easier for you, like, do you actually still want to do it, even if all of those bridges that make it easier for you, if it's gone, yeah. like, would you still want to do it?
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, writing from ChatGPT is not perfect, and I think that's what a lot of students don't recognize. They think it's just, because they don't, here's the thing. They get it from ChatGPT, they copy and paste it, and they just kind of, like, do the formatting, like, however, and then they don't do anything. They don't, like, go, they don't go back in and, like, read and to like, oh, yeah. skim it to see if it's actually relevant to what, it, yeah. To what they're talking. It could look as original, it could be as, you know, like, check-proof as possible, but, like, I mean, I, as someone who proofreads for fun, I do. I enjoy doing little things. It's, like, I still go back and, like, rewrite things from ChatGPT, whether if it's for voice or just for grammar. Not that the grammar is not correct, but I'd rather say it like this than this. Mm-hmm. Like, in like, you know, whatever context, like for a paper, a lot of ChatGPT essays are written, especially if you say, like, write a 1,000-word essay for this. They will try to write 1,000 words. Some of those words don't make fucking sense in it. They're all just filler words. Yeah. And you just don't recognize it. And then ChatGPT is like, here you go. The thing is, it's good, but it's not perfect. So if you're going to use ChatGPT to write your paper, I won't judge you. But you took a class for this thing, so you should know a little something about this subject. Read through it a little bit and, like, correct it. So it's still kind of yours.
Yeah. This is like the whole having a good prompt.
Yeah.
Because knowing your material for ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Because, like, for example, I can't.
This is the ChatGPT version of Fix It and Pre.
Yeah, that's the way I do. I think. Yeah, like, the way I think about it is, like, if I just say, like, write an Instagram caption about dance.
Yeah.
Cool. They'll do that. But if I get specific, I specifically wanted to talk about temper tantrum, the projects we're doing. I will input all of that so that way it's the exact information I want in the copy, mm-hmm. and that way. I don't know, it's trying to mitigate any of the mistakes so that way you're not trying to fix so much.
Yeah.
That also goes to show, like, it's at the end of the day, it's not something you can use that's going to do it perfectly and you just, like, you don't have to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you have to put thought into what you're doing here, which is kind of the same for anything. Mm-hmm. Like, ChatGPT is a tool.
Yeah.
Like, a tool, like, help that helps you. It's not a brain for you to rely on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. At the end of the day, like, you had to figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you had to use your human brain to figure out that I can't just, like, say X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. and then it'll give me exactly what I want. Yeah. No, you're still, like, you still have to cater to it. You still have to, you know, like, give it prompts. You still have to say, like, do this, not mm-hmm. this. Make it shorter, make it longer.
Yeah.
So it's, like, as much as, like, people, like, are afraid that this is going to take over, there's still something about the human mind mm-hmm. that technology still can't replace.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it took me a couple of, like, prompts when it comes to, like, temper tantrum posts to get it to basically to get me to the point where I can just go write an Instagram caption for temper tantrum for their campaign in the GoGo campaign or whatever.
Yeah.
And then with the information that's already in that thread that's, like, saved there, then it can just go, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
And then it'll just, like, mention, like, casually, like, it'll casually, like, drop, you know, like, name drop, like, one of the projects. And it's like, oh, like, our project, let's say Yummy or whatever. I'm like, oh, that was from last week when I asked you to do something. Yeah.
That's what I love about ChatGPT. Like, when it saves the history of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So whenever, with specifically temper tantrum, I have it say, one of the prompts is, remember all this information about temper tantrum.
Learning.
And then I put everything about the bio, mm-hmm. who the directors are,
Yeah.
Like our bios, who's currently in the team, mm-hmm. all the projects we've worked on, like by name, like so that way when I say write a and then like I literally have a document in the Google Drive, mm-hmm. like here's the ChatGPT prompt. And it has everything, and you just boom, so it remembers it. And then when it comes to time, it has all the information yeah. that it needs to know about said company.
Yeah.
Mm. So because it sucks, like because I wanted as much as possible to have the not the same information, but at least some detailed information that you can't that it just doesn't know.
Yeah.
So like I wanted to know like, all right, here's the projects we worked on, here's mm-hmm. the events you performed at, here's the major big events, here's the people important characters, and that way it can easily pull, oh, this is Brandon, this is Crystal, this is Lauren, this is
yeah.
this is our project that we performed at for PBS, things like that.
I started doing that for my day job, not as like extensive as like putting like who's, you know, who like who's where, like, you know, like names and like any like positions and stuff, because it's a big organization. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. But I basically fed it like basic information about the organization
yeah.
that I work for. And then, mm-hmm. and I fed it also a bunch of web copy and some copy from like social media. And I'm like, remember this. And then I'm like, oh, write a social media post about, you know, like a swim class. And then they just have it.
Mm. Use ChatGPT. It's actually really
use AI really, really responsibly.
Cool. It's helpful.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Use it responsibly.
Yeah.
Don't
great actually, power comes great responsibility.
You guys see the thanks, Uncle Ben. Someone using like he 3D printed like a tool to write papers and then he
yes!
I was like, God wait, damn it!
I showed you the one where this person this guy was either a photographer Caleb, or a videographer.
Take note.
or a videographer. He was like, he had like one of those like IKEA desks with like a little like thin drawer. Like uh-huh. underneath the desk, I think I sent it to you. He opens it, and you know, like there's like organization like little thingies that inserts that either came with it or that he bought, and then it still wasn't optimized enough for him.
Oh, you're talking about the
yeah, because there were still like some loose like SD cards or whatever. So he literally emptied it, measured everything. I mean, there was no AI involved in this, but you said 3D printing, but like measured everything and then put everything into the 3D printer. Everything just fit like a glove. Perfect. There's little slots for every SD card.
Oh, that's
there's
so
a
cool.
there's a scissor shaped thing for the scissors.
Wow.
There's a camera shaped thing for the camera, and I'm like,
so yeah, the other thing that Lauren brought up was like this kid just brilliant, like. Mm-hmm.
He engineered a 3D printer to write in his style of handwriting, I'm assuming, mm-hmm. on like, and then
actual
he used
notepaper.
Yeah on yeah. notepaper, and he used ChatGPT to write like his
whatever.
Essays.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you know, where it's like of course like writing a paper won't take that long, mm-hmm. but it also goes to show that if you think efficiently, mm-hmm. and if you put the effort in, like in a short span of time, yeah. then the fruits of your labor will last.
Yeah.
It's like planting a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? It's like planting a tree. Mm-hmm. Like it takes a lot of time to like foster it to help it grow, but when it fruits,
You got fruit.
For and you life. Don't need to go to the grocery store.
You just reminded me of this one guy that I've been following. I forgot his name.
You're stalking him?
Yes.
I Joe Goldberg.
I would like to be his friend. He's
Hello?
Really cool. Okay. But he had AI, he created AI generated Beatles music.
Wow.
Like, oh shit.
It's terrible. Wait.
I think you said
now.
Yeah, I said that. Yeah. It's terrible now.
Yeah, terrible now.
Because what he did was he inputted into the computer all the songs from the Beatles,
mm-hmm.
and it started creating.
Was it the same guy that made? I think it's probably the same guy that had that used different AI tools to, I think, use ChatGPT to write lyrics in the style of Eminem.
Oh no, different.
About
guy.
A cat.
Different guy.
That's a different guy.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But there is that too. Oh yeah. God, the things
and
you can
the,
do
with like Eminem's voice, like as close as possible, like with AI.
This
just because that things start out terribly the first time doesn't mean it can't become good.
That, that this is like being a human too.
Yeah.
You're
going
to suck at it first.
Yeah. Yes,
you will suck at a lot of things that you do for the first time. Don't let that stop you.
But then you, but the thing with this, again, it's like it just gets better. You're like, you're your own AI. It's HI.
HI.
Okay. Yeah, this one, the first samples, it got a decent sound of it. None of the lyrics make sense, but it's like, but it shows the potential.
Like, if you're not listening that closely, you're like, oh, the Beatles.
Yeah. The other one was, I think the one example you're talking about was someone that had ChatGPT rap in the style of Drake.
Yeah.
And
it's the same guys. Yeah.
And then the guy used another AI voice generator to sound like Drake.
Yes.
And then he rapped
it
out.
It's the same guy that did Eminem.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
Yeah.
Because the Eminem one was featured on like Last Week Tonight because they did a whole thing on AI. Because they've done like a whole lot of things on AI like years ago and they just keep going back to it because guess what? It keeps improving. It keeps getting better and to other people, scarier.
Yeah. I mean,
people only get intimidated when they think that they can be like knocked off of their high horse.
Yeah. I think the scary part people get worried about is like, what if you get like, you make a fake recording of, I don't know.
Deepfakes have been
end up a problem. It's inevitable.
Deepfakes have been a problem for a while.
So yeah, that with famous people. Yeah.
The
one that I do appreciate that's kind of funny is the president's playing Call of Duty. And just talking shit to each other.
Oh, my God.
It's Trump. It's someone.
Trump, Obama.
And Biden.
And Biden.
And they're just talking shit to each other playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
That sounds incredible.
So that's the wholesome fun I'd like. But if it gets, that's the stuff where it can, you know, like it's.
It can be entertaining. It can be educational.
But it's gambling with danger. What if you voice as someone and then someone picks that up on the news? And especially with news nowadays. It's like no one fact checks their shit. They just want to be first.
Especially if the news outlet has an affiliation to a certain political alignment.
Yeah, so they're gonna they never apologize if they make a mistake. So it's like it's a lot of good, but also like a lot of bad with it too.
Never apologize when they make a mistake. It sounds like
It's people.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. I was gonna say parents.
Wow. But yeah, they get it's
my parents.
Ha 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 ha.